The following will be two readings from the John S. Randall Peace Page.
Has anybody here seen my old friend?
Sitting in front, at the right. It was difficult for young Michael to understand. From the age of 3, young Michael had been best friends with another boy. Michael was black and his friend was white, but it didn't matter to either of them. They enjoyed each other's company, they loved playing together. That's all that mattered. They were the best of friends. But at age 6, as they started school, Michael's friends started acting differently toward him. He finally confided to Michael that his father told him he could no longer play with him. Michael thought he did something wrong, something his friend's parents disapproved of. His parents finally had to explain to him it was nothing he did. It was because of Michael's skin color, that it was a different color. Michael could not understand why the color of his skin mattered and why people would hate him because of it. His father would later take him to a shoe store to get new shoes. As he and his father sat down, a store clerk told them that they had to move to the back of the store. Michael's father explained the seats were fine, but the clerk insisted that they move. Perhaps the store didn't want their white customers to feel uncomfortable. Regardless, Michael and his father were forced to go to the back of the store if they wanted service. Michael's father became upset, and they left the store. As they walked away, Michael's father muttered, "I don't care how long I have to live with this system. I will never accept it." Little by little, Michael began to understand. He began to understand why a white woman would slap him on his head and why he had to sit at the back of the bus. He experienced segregation firsthand. He experienced racism and he witnessed hatred. He saw a black man being beaten by the Ku Klux Klan and he walked past spots where he was told men of his color were lynched. His father would take Michael and the rest of the family to a trip overseas. His father learned about a monk who was known as a reformer and a leader and who would change the world fighting for justice and equality. So inspired by this monk, Michael's father would change his name and that of Michael's name, reflecting the monk's name. And the monk's name was Martin Luther. Michael would be known as Martin Luther King Jr., born on January 15th, 1929. He would later speak vigilantly against the lynching, bombing, and shooting of black people who merely wanted what white people took for granted. A cup of coffee at any lunch counter, a room at any hotel they could afford, a drink at any water fountain they passed, a seat on any bus wherever they pleased, and a desk in the nearest schoolhouse, according to the New York Times. He said, "Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal."
We shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall not be moved.
The humanity of all Americans is diminished when any group is denied rights granted to others. And now you'll hear the second reading. He became the first African American to have his name entered into nomination as major party candidate for Vice President of the United States at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. But since he was only 28 at the time and unable to meet the constitutional age requirement, he declined. When he was elected to the Georgia House of Representatives in 1965, along with 7 other black members, furious white members of the House refused to let him take his seat, according to the New York Times. His name was Julian Bond, and he was born in Nashville, Tennessee, on January 14th, 1940. He was a charismatic figure of the 1960s civil rights movement, a lightning rod of the anti-Vietnam War campaign and a lifelong champion of equal rights, notably as the chairman of the NAACP, according to the New York Times. He was also a writer, poet, television commentator, lecturer, and college teacher, and a persistent opponent of the stubborn remnants of white supremacy. Horace Julian Bond's great-grandmother was the slave mistress of a Kentucky farmer. His father was a college president and his mother a librarian. While attending Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, he heard about the Greensboro sit-ins. He and his friends organized their own sit-ins against segregated public facilities in Atlanta. I was arrested for the first time at the Atlanta City Hall cafeteria then, and it launched me on a lifetime of movement activity, he said. Bond and others formed SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, that staged sit-ins and voter registration drives and later organized Mississippi Freedom Summer to bring national attention to the brutal resistance to equal rights in the South. This is according to Debbie Elliott in NPR. I do think that some of us began to realize that this was going to be a long struggle and it was going to go on for decades and you'd have to knuckle down. A lot of people in our generation did that. They didn't drop out and run away, he said. Most of those who made the movement were not famous, they were not faceless, he added. They were the nameless, the marchers with the tired feet, the protesters beat back with fire hoses and billy clubs, and the unknown men and women who risked job and home and life. Bond would also serve for 20 years in the Georgia General Assembly, mostly in conspicuous isolation from white colleagues who saw him as an interloper and a rabble-rouser. When he was first elected, the white members refused to allow him to take his seat. It was odd because, you know, they put me out. They expelled me because I was opposed to the war in Vietnam and declared my seat vacant. I ran for the vacancy and I won. They threw me out again. I ran a third time and won. And when I finally got in, I think most of my white colleagues treated me as a real curiosity, he said. The Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, ordered the state assembly to seat him, saying that it had denied him freedom of speech. Bond was also a founder, with Morris Dees, of the Southern Poverty Law Center, a legal advocacy organization in Montgomery, Alabama. Mr. Bond was its president from 1971 to 1979 and remained on its board for the rest of his life, according to the New York Times. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that's a better champion of people who have few champions than Julian Bond, said Morris Dees. According to Dees, when African-American leaders, especially in the NAACP and others who were slow to see the rights for the LGBT community, same-sex marriage and other things, as akin to the rights that they'd obtain, Julian Bond stood out front and spoke out. Gay and lesbian couples have the same values as everyone else. Love, commitment, and stable families. They should have the same right to marry as the rest of us, Bond said. When he died in 2015, the nurse at the intensive care unit told his wife, I want you to know it was a privilege to take care of him. As a gay American, I thought he was a hero. According to the Washington Post, Bond strove to vanquish discrimination against anyone who knew oppression. There's a big debate that goes on in America about what rights are. Civil rights, human rights, what are they? It's an artificial debate because everybody has rights, he said. Everybody has rights. I don't care who you are, what you do, where you come from, how you were born, what your race or creed or color is, you have rights. Everybody's got rights. In another statement, he said, the civil rights movement didn't begin in Montgomery and it didn't end in the 1960s. It continues on to this very minute. This was two readings from the John S. Randall Peace Page, produced at the KTWH Community Radio Studio in Two Harbors, Minnesota, with the permission of John S. Randall. You can find the John S. Randall Peace Page on Facebook. Just look for John, J-O-N-S, Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L, Peace Page. I'm your narrator, Kim Leon, and I thank my co-producer, Jackson Leon. The Julian Bond story was posted to John's Facebook page on January 14th, and the Martin Luther King story was posted to John's Peace page on January 16th. Thank you for listening.